thanks Australia, thanks the Prime Minister, thanks Embassy, Australian Embassy in Thailand. We thanks all people. They done a great job. The outcome is result of your efforts. We thank you for that support. We thank you many times.
Australia cheered as Bahrainian refugee footballer Hakim Al-Arabi flew home today after being held in a Thai jail. A red letter order from Interpol at the behest of the Bahrainian government, had caused the Thai authorities to detain him on what should have been a honeymoon for the promising footballer. On the line right now, I have seasoned foreign correspondent and Queensland University professor Peter Grester, who was incarcerated in an Egyptian prison for over 400 days. Peter, do you know how Hakim must feel arriving back from Thailand?
Oh, gosh, yes. I can't tell you how relieved I was to see Hakim on his way back to Australia at last free. He would be feeling utterly overwhelmed, particularly because he spent so much time really on the edge without really knowing which way this thing would go. And to be able to make it home and to be free is going to be such a massive, massive relief. I think Hakim is lucky, though, because of his circumstances, because he had some very high-profile advocates who were able to speak for him and apply a lot of international pressure on his behalf. There are thousands and thousands of people all over the world who aren't in the same position, who don't have the benefit of friends like Hakim, or in my case, all of my journalistic friends and my family who are able to lobby on my behalf. And it's those people that we really need to remember, because we just happen to be lucky to be in our positions. Those others are not.
You're a seasoned foreign correspondent, and when you went to Egypt on that fateful day on assignment for a respected worldwide news organisation, were you feeling quite sort of confident that you were going to be able to get into Egypt okay?
Yeah, I wasn't concerned at all. I mean, we were doing ordinary work, in fact, fairly pedestrian work. I'm almost embarrassed to admit that it wasn't anything particularly special. Now, I didn't know Egypt very well. I hadn't covered the story at all before. I was simply treading water, holding a fort over a Christmas New Year period. And so, even though I worked for Al Jazeera, and we knew that Al Jazeera had a pretty fractious relationship with the Egyptian government, because I wasn't doing anything radical, I didn't think that there was any risk involved in the work that we were doing. And my concern is that I'm not suggesting that Australia is about to become Egypt anytime soon, but if you think about it in the abstract, what we're seeing happening here are the same historical forces playing out that are driving the government to, in the name of national security, to redraft our laws, to loosen the definitions, to give the security services the tools that they need to deal with terrorism. But in the process, what we're seeing is journalism coming under siege, if you like, indirectly.
You've spearheaded the founding of the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom. What do you think is stopping Australian journalists being able to report without fear or favour now?
Government legislation. I mean, the problem is that in Australia, we just don't have any legislative protection of media freedom. The High Court has ruled that there is an inferred freedom of political communication inherent in our constitutional system of representative democracy, but there is nothing that explicitly protects it. And so what we're seeing is governments increasingly passing legislation with ever looser definitions around things like national security and so on, but really intrude on the work that journalists are able to do. So all of a sudden we're finding the kind of work that you would expect good journalism to undertake, working with sources, for example, in government, exposing corruption or mismanagement, political hypocrisy and so on. It's almost impossible for journalists to protect those sources under current legislation. In many cases, simply receiving certain types of information makes you guilty of a criminal act, even if you never sought it out, even if you didn't investigate or weren't diving into the inner workings of government. And so all of those things are encroaching on media freedom, and in ways that aren't really obvious to ordinary people. They're limiting freedom of the press and limiting our capacity to see what's going on inside government, and I think that's a real problem.
What advice would you have for a young freelancer chasing a story overseas?
Oh, gosh. I dread this question. look, the problem is that the industry, as anyone who's tried to survive in it well knows, the industry has very little money. And there's a tendency, there's a very real temptation for young journalists to go overseas, to take on risky assignments, to try and make some money, to make a name for themselves. If you're properly prepared, if you've done your homework, if you've had the training, if you've had the hostile environments training, then I think it's worth a shot. But by Christ, you've got to be careful.
Journalist and Professor Peter Grester of Queensland University and founder of Alliance for Journalist Freedom ending that interview. I'm Roderick Chambers and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.